It is my honor to introduce Jackie Garner. Jackie is the acting regional director for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in Region 5, this region, which includes the state of Illinois. She is Secretary Kathleen Sebelius's representative in the region. She's also the consortium administrator for Medicaid and Children's Health with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, where she oversees the Medicaid divisions in all 10 regional offices in the country. She and her team work with all 50 states and territories. She's worked closely with state government, nonprofits, and advocates to improve health care for all, and she's bringing us a great message and also some really good information from our president. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan, for that very kind introduction. And thank you all for everything you do to inform, advise, and assist everyone who walks through your doors. As acclaimed author Neil Gaiman has said, Google can bring you back 100,000 answers, but a librarian can bring you back the right one. CMS, yay. CMS is extremely excited about the partnership that Susan just announced. We know, and many of you helped us during Part D, Medicare Part D, and we learned then what we all knew, that public libraries are unique local assets, not only a source for books and information, but a trusted community resources. Libraries are where everyone goes to ask questions and find answers, and informing and educating, aiding patrons to discover and discern something new. That's what librarians do each and every day. That's why having you as our partners, helping ensure that everyone is better able to understand and enroll in the health insurance marketplace, is so invaluable. And already, we have resources for you. If you stop by our CMS exhibit in the exhibit hall, you can see our healthcare.gov site and even the widget that we have available for you today, right now. We're very grateful for all the ways you'll be able to help, whether sharing information, allowing use of your computers and spaces, or perhaps even choosing to get trained to provide enrollment assistance. During this week, CMS, HHS, we are launching our call center and our new healthcare.gov website. You, as the American Library Association, are the first group we are coming to during our launch week, as we know that librarians are essential to the American public as they seek information about the marketplace and the Affordable Care Act. I know that the President is also very grateful for your engagement. And I'm now happy to be able to share with you a few words of appreciation from him for the work that you as librarians are doing and will help us with in your communities, as well as his challenge to do whatever it takes to make sure that everyone knows what the health care law and the new health insurance marketplace means for them.
Hi, everybody. I want to thank you all for the hard work you do in our communities every day and for being here to talk about what the Affordable Care Act means for middle-class families. There are two main things Americans need to know about this law, and we need your help spreading the word. First, if you're one of the nearly 85% of Americans who already have insurance through Medicare, Medicaid, or your employer, you don't have to do anything. The Affordable Care Act just gives you a wide array of new benefits, better protections, and stronger cost controls that you didn't have before. Things like kids' checkups, flu shots, and mammograms are now covered at no cost. Young people now have the option of staying on their parents' plan until they're 26. And insurance companies are now required to spend at least 80% of the money you pay in premiums on your health care, and to give you a rebate if they don't. All that is in place right now for Americans who are already covered. Which brings me to the second point. If you're one of the tens of millions of Americans who don't have insurance, Beginning October 1st, you'll be able to choose from a menu of quality, affordable private health insurance plans in new online marketplaces. Insurance companies will compete for your business, which means more choices and more affordable premiums. And if you can't afford a plan, you'll get help reducing out-of-pocket premiums with the largest healthcare tax cut for working families in our history. But to take advantage of these marketplaces, folks need to sign up. We need community leaders like you to share with people what the Affordable Care Act means for them and help even more Americans sign up for coverage. And you can go to healthcare.gov to learn more. That's healthcare.gov. Because quality, affordable healthcare, that's not a privilege, it's a right. And together we can make sure every American has access to the care they need, when they need it, at a price they can afford. So thanks again for your help, and let's get to work.
And I thank all of you for your cooperation in getting organized as we were introduced to this surprise addition to our agenda this morning. So I will now begin the introductions, announcements, and essentially the call to order. Good morning and welcome. The chair calls the first meeting of ALA Council to order. If you want to speak at this meeting, please go to a microphone, wait for recognition, then give your name and indicate if you are a division counselor, a chapter counselor, a counselor at large, or a roundtable counselor. Motion forms must be completed for all motions, and for your convenience, the motion forms are available at the end of your table and at each end of your table. Motion forms must be printed legibly, signed by the mover and the seconder, and given to the projectionist before you go to the microphone. This assures that the overhead slide will be available for your motion at the time it is introduced. You will be asked to raise one of your hands for all votes that are not adopted by general consent. Only if the vote seems close will I call for a standing vote. General consent voting will only be used for routine and non-controversial decisions, typically of a procedural nature, such as the decision to recess or change the agenda. Use of general consent is not an appropriate way of voting on main motions. Please watch the overhead screen for the motion description to use on your voting card. You may only use that descriptor. Please do not improvise. Your voting record is at your place. You should have a pink card for this morning's meeting. If you must leave before adjournment, please take your card to Lois Ann Gregory Wood over at the projectionist table in this room. It is my pleasure to reintroduce ALA's parliamentarian, Ellie Nina. Ellie will be available at resolutions table. I'll pause. Fitting that we recognize and appreciate his contributions. Ellie will be available at resolutions table number 12 in the ALA offices in this convention center on level 3 of hall A-1 to help with any questions you may have regarding parliamentary procedures. The resolutions table hours are listed in ALA Council document 3.1. Also on the platform today are Barbara K. Stripling, ALA president-elect, Joanne Kemp, Director of the Office of ALA Governance, and Keith Michael Fields, ALA Executive Director and Secretary of Council. I also introduce Danielle Alderson and Lois Ann Gregory Wood, our Council Secretariat. This meeting is being captured for the hearing impaired. Our captionist for the annual conference is Heather Theriak. If you wish to take advantage of this service, please be seated where you can see the screens. Also, we have reserved a table for members of the press. It is to my left near the captionist table. Electrical outlets are available for those of you who wish to plug in your laptops at the tables in this room. For those counselors who would like to have their photograph taken for the council webpage, gallery, please see Lois Ann over at the projectionist table. We have special guests with us today, and if they are in the room, would they please stand as I call their names? And I would ask that you hold your applause until all have been recognized. The American Library Association is delighted to introduce 2013-14 ALA President-elect and Counselor Courtney L. Young. I should have acknowledged you probably weren't going to follow my suggestions there. Now, ALA Treasurer-elect and Counselor Mario M. Gonzalez. And our international guests include Ungazi Azubogu Imo. Ungazi Azubogu Imo, who is from the State University in Nigeria. Oke Okoro Imo, State University Library in Owerri, Nigeria. Welcome. Also with us are Amber Billy, President-elect of the Vermont Library Association, Beth Boyson, President of the Montana Library Association, Robin Crumrin, President of the Indiana Library Federation, Sue Erickson, President of the Illinois Library Association, Trish Hull, President of the Utah Library Association, Deb Kelsey, President of the New England Library Association, Dennis Lee Loop, who is an ALA counselor, as well as the immediate past president of the Indiana Library Association, Brenda Metzger, president-elect of the Kentucky Library Association, Eileen Palmer, president-elect of the New Jersey Library Association, Charlene Peachlew, who is president of the Louisiana Library Association, Carrie Plymeyer, president-elect of the Maryland Library Association, Lisa Rice, President of the Kentucky Library Association, Jeff Simpson, President of the Alabama Library Association, Tom Wilding, ALA Counselor and President of the Arizona Library Association, Amanda Wilson, President-elect of the District of Columbia Library Association, Derek Wolfgram, California Library Association, and Kathy Wolford, President of the Michigan Library Association. Thank you all for honoring us by being at our meeting at this conference. It's an exercise that's a wonderful reminder of how we extend throughout the country. The quorum for a council meeting is 75 councilors. I've been advised that we have well over 75 councilors present, and therefore we have a quorum. Thank you. The rules for this meeting are in council document number 5. Written reports should not be read, and when resolutions are presented, only the resolved clauses should be read. The resolutions committee is responsible for reviewing all resolutions at least 24 hours before those resolutions are added to the council agenda. Please be reminded that all resolutions with fiscal implications must go to the Budget Analysis and Review Committee before being added to the agenda. Debate shall be limited to 3 minutes for each speaker. No speaker may have the floor twice on the same question until all who wish to speak have spoken. We have timing lights that will indicate how much time you have left. When the green light is on, you have up to 3 minutes. When the yellow light comes on, you have 1 minute remaining. And when the red light comes up, your time is up, and I will remind you of that. Keep in mind, this is not intended to stifle debate, but to ensure fairness. Is there any objection to the proposed rules? If there is no objection, the chair declares the rules adopted by consent. As a courtesy to others, please turn your cell phones off or to silent prompting. If you need to make or take a call, please leave the council area. Thank you. The Resolutions Committee asks that all resolutions be submitted in hard copy and emailed to Councilor Irene Briggs, who is the chair of the Resolutions Committee, at alaresolutions@ala.org. This will aid the projectionist in preparing your motion for the overhead screens. The Resolutions Committee is stationed in the ALA office area at Table 12 in this convention center, and this is on Level 3 in Hall A1, during the times listed in ALA Council Document 3.1. Would Councilor Irene Briggs please stand so that we can see you? There she is. Thank you, Irene. Also be reminded that all committee reports and documents must be emailed to Lois Ann Gregory Wood, the ALA Council Secretariat, at lgregory@ala.org, no later than 5 p.m. on the day preceding the council meeting at which they are to be discussed. Also, please provide Lois Ann with a contact phone number in case she should have a question about your document. As you know, Council 3 on Tuesday, July 2nd, is just 90 minutes long. This is to enable councilors to attend the closing general session and the inaugural event, which will begin at 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday. For this reason, we hope to accomplish the bulk of our business at this meeting, Council 1, and at Council 2, and we ask for your concerted cooperation in helping us to do that. There will be reserved seating for councilors at the council session until at the council closing session at 9:30 a.m. This session will take place next door in rooms A and B. In accordance with ALA policy 8.7.4.10, all resolutions approved by the membership will be presented at the next meeting of council by the chair of the resolutions committee. The resolutions committee chair will indicate which member resolutions are clearly policy matters. The presiding officer of council will call for council's guidance on the disposition of each member item in turn. The following resolution was approved at yesterday's ALA membership meeting, where we did have a quorum. It's a resolution in support of whistleblower Edward Snowden, and it is ALA Council Document 39. The agenda, ALA Council Document 8.5, revised on June 29th at 1:30 a.m., is available at the pickup station in this room. On the agenda, you will find allocations of time to certain issues. These time limits are only estimates to guide me as I facilitate this meeting. Under the 24-hour rule, we have also received the following resolutions to add under new business. A resolution reaffirming ALA's commitment to basic literacy, your council document 37. The Declaration for the Right to Libraries resolution, council document 40. A resolution on library service to the community in a natural disaster. This is Council Document 41. A resolution on divestment of holdings in fossil fuel companies and the library's role in peaceful transition to a fossil-free economy. Council Document 42. A resolution on prayer in ALA meetings. Council Document 44. A resolution commending the Freedom to Read Foundation for defending video games, Council Document 47. And a draft resolution on digitization of U.S. government documents, Council Document 47. Do you have, 49, thank you, Joanne. Do you have any other business to add at this time? Are there, microphone 3.
Al Kagan, CERT Counselor. I'd like to remind the chair that the membership meeting passed a resolution yesterday that is on our agenda. It's Council Document 39. I don't think you mentioned it. Okay, thank you.
And I thank you. Do you have any other new business to add at this time? I declare the agenda adopted. You were sent by email the minutes of the 2013 ALA Midwinter Meeting, and this is Council Document 2.1. Copies are also available at the Council Documents pickup station in this room. Are there any corrections to be noted? Thank you. If there are no corrections, I declare the ALA Council minutes from the 2013 ALA Midwinter Meeting adopted. The next item on the agenda is nominations for the ALA 2013-14 Council Committee on Committees. I now call upon Barbara Stripling, Chair of the 2012-13 ALA Council Committee on Committees, to present the committee's report. Barbara.
On behalf of the 2012-2013 ALA Committee on Committees, Saul A. Gomez, Terry G. Kirk Grief, M. Claire Knowles, Rocco Steno, and myself. It is my pleasure to submit the nominations for election to the 2013-2014 Committee on Committees, to be chaired by 2013-2014 President-elect Courtney L. Young. I refer you to Council Document 12 and submit the following state of 8 candidates, from which 4 are to be elected to serve on the 2013-2014 Council Committee on Committees. The 4 candidates receiving the highest number of votes will be elected to serve 1-year terms beginning at the adjournment of this 2013 annual conference. Will the candidates please stand when named, and please hold your applause until all have stood. Thank you. The candidates are Julius C. Jefferson, Jr. Back over there. Vicki M. Emery. John C. DeSantis. I saw him yesterday. He's here somewhere. Ebony M. Henry. Roberto Carlos Delgadillo, Wendy Stedman Stevens, Barbara L. Flynn, and Carrie D. Hartman.
Thank you, Barbara. The chair would like to call your attention to Bylaw Article 3, Section 6C, which provides for nominations from the floor. To be eligible, councilors must have terms which extend at least through 2014. Seconds are not required for floor nominations. Are there any nominations from the floor for the 2013-14 Committee on Committees? If there are no nominations, the chair declares the nominations closed. Ballots will be ready for you to pick up beginning at 5:30 this afternoon in this room. The ballot box will remain open in this room today until 7:30 p.m. You must call for your ballot in person. For your convenience, the ballot box will be brought to the council chambers at 8:30 a.m. on Monday, July 1st, and it will remain in council chambers until 1:30 p.m. The tellers will close the ballot box at 1:30 p.m. on Monday, July 1st, in order to tally the votes. They will present their report to you on Tuesday morning during our final meeting. I now refer you to ALA Council Document 12.1 and again call upon President-elect Barbara Stripling. Barbara Stripling, I like this.
Thank you, Maureen. The 2012-2013 Council Committee on Committees submits the following councilor-at-large and chapter candidates for election to the 2013-2014 Planning and Budget Assembly. Please note that the first 3 chapter councilors receiving the highest number of votes will be elected to a 2-year term, 2013 to 2015, on the ALA Planning and Budget Assembly. The chapter councilor candidates, and would you please rise and hold your applause again, are Walter Betts, Elena Rosenfeld, Vicki Mix, Majid Cotter, Hattie S. Dudley. Yeah, you all can stay standing if you want to. So everybody can see you. Pamela J. Hickson Stevenson. Oh, and that's it. Thank you. Three councilors at large are to be elected to serve as follows. 2 councilors at large are elected for 2-year terms, 2013 to 2015, and 1 councilor at large will be elected for a 1-year term, 2013 to 2014, to complete the unexpired term of Courtney L. Young, who is the newly elected, as you know, president-elect. The first two councilors at large candidates receiving the highest number of votes will be elected for the two-year terms, 2013 to 2015, on PDA, and the third councilor at large receiving the next number of votes will be elected for the one-year term, 2013 to 2014, on PDA. The councilor at large candidates are Carolyn J. Starkey, Nancy L. Bauman, Nicholas H. Buron, Karen G. Snyder, Alexandra P. Rivera, and Sue Polenka. Thank you.
Nominations may be made from the floor. To be eligible, councilors must have terms which extend at least through 2015. Seconds are not required for floor nominations. Are there any floor nominations for the Planning and Budget Assembly? If there are no nominations, the chair declares the nominations closed. Thank you, Barbara, and thanks to your committee for a job well done. As noted in Council, ALA Council Document 12.2, the following councilors have volunteered to serve as tellers for the election: Dennis J. LeLoup, John C. Sandstrom, and Mary Ann Fuse. The chair now refers you to ALA Council Document 15.1 and calls upon ALA Executive Director Keith Michael Fields to review the Executive Board actions taken since the 2013 midwinter meeting in Seattle, Washington.
Thank you.
Actually, this report is rather straightforward. As you can see from the report, basically all of council actions have been implemented. Probably the most important of the follow-ups had to do with the discussions related to the fossil fuel resolution. And as I had noted in my email back to councilors, while the resolution, in fact, was not formally referred to BARC and the endowment trustees, the endowment trustees and BARC did take the initiative in reviewing the resolution and will be bringing recommendations back at this conference. And I believe that's the only particular item. Great, thank you.
Are there any questions? If there are no questions, we'll move to ALA Council Document 9.1, which is the implementation report of Councilor's 2013 midwinter meeting actions. I again call upon Keith to respond to any questions about the report.
Probably the most notable item, there's a couple of budget items which we have already reported on and will be discussing. The other item was the a special organizational membership promotion. As you know, when the Oprah Book Club was making free books available to organizational members, we had a dramatic uptick in the number of organizational members. That promotion ended almost a decade ago, and gradually the number of organizational members has been declining. Our new membership director Ron Jankowski has been, I think, particularly creative in looking at organizational memberships, and we've been doing a lot of work on trying to create a stronger value package. And what we have done then is to actually undertake an aggressive campaign to go back and to see if we can bring back some of the organizational members that we had lost, and I'm happy to report that we've actually been very successful and that organizational membership has been growing. We will continue to focus on that because we think at this point we do have a very strong value package. So that's the item I would like to draw to your attention.
Are there any questions? All right, we'll move along. I now direct you to ALA Council Document 30.1, and I'm delighted to call upon Sari Feldman and Robert Wolven, who are co-chairs of the Digital Content and Libraries Working Group, to present their report.
Morning, everyone. Thank you very much, and thank you, Council, for your support of the work that we're doing. I also want to thank the ALA leadership. It's been extraordinary. The ALA staff, we couldn't do the work without them. The working group, and in particular, my co-chair, Bob Wolven, for everything that's happening has really been a collective effort, which is so exciting. I think that we want to highlight a few items from the report, and then we will welcome your questions or comments about the next phase of our work. The most tremendous outcome is the fact that all of the big six publishers are now working with libraries. Though varied, though not ideal, we are very happy to say that they are engaged with libraries across the country. So that has really come out of the incredible communications effort and the hard work, trips to meet and meet face-to-face with publishers and other entities that support the publishing industry to make this kind of change, a place where we weren't sure we would be after the 2 years of work. And then I also want to call your attention to the e-content supplement of American libraries. And this is just one example of the kind of communication that is available for the membership. Different members of the committee, of the staff, of the ALA leadership are writing for many publications, as well as speaking out at other library conferences and conferences in the publishing industry to ensure that the work, the good work of ALA is being communicated and recognized. Thank you. Now I'll turn it over to Bob.
Thank you, Sari, and thank you for all current Mutual Appreciation Society. We really depend on each other here. I want to just highlight, as Sari did, a few things that are happening at this conference or that the working group will be focusing on in the months ahead. And following on the communication theme, one of the most significant developments is the communications group launching the Authors for Library eBooks campaign, which is recruiting some fairly prominent authors to speak out in support of fair terms for libraries to acquire and distribute ebooks. We have at the moment 5 active subgroups. Most of them are meeting at this conference and will continue working. The accessibility group will expect to have a report in the next couple of months. There's a group on business models for school libraries, a new group on privacy and ethics. On Monday, we are starting to focus on preservation, and we have this kind of brainstorming meeting coming together to decide how we can best engage on the whole corpus of issues around preservation of digital content. As Sari noted, the Big Six are all now working with libraries in one way or another, but we know there's a lot more work to be done there, so there'll be continued focus on engagement with those publishers to see if we can improve the terms on which they're making books available and extend the pilots that they're conducting to a broader range. And I also want to mention we had a very successful public program yesterday focusing primarily on the role libraries play in making digital content available and creating it and distributing it, which I think gives us a more positive image and focus than simply reacting to the world around us. If there are any questions about what we're doing or plan to do, we'd be happy to take them.
Are there questions for Sari or Bob? We thank you for the work you have done, but we also express our appreciation for the work that you've agreed to continue to do. They're going to continue to co-chair this exemplary working group, in my view. Thank you. We will now take up new business. The chair calls upon Irene Briggs, chair of the Resolutions Committee, to inform Council of any policy implications related to the following membership resolution, which is now ALA Council Document Number 39, the resolution in support of whistleblower Edward Snowden. Microphone 5.
Irene Briggs, Councilor at large, chair of the resolution committee, I am not aware of any policy implications for that particular resolution.
Thank you. Microphone five.
Thank you, President Sullivan. My name is Jim Kuhn. I'm a councilor at large, and
we can't hear.
Sorry, microphone five. Thank you. Jim Kuhn, councilor at large. I am the mover of this resolution. And if you'll have a look at the first 11 or 12 whereases, you'll see that there's an awful lot of ALA policy that is provided as background to this important resolution. I'd like to say just a couple things about the extraordinary...
Jim,
yes,
would you
ma'am.
Please read the resolved clause?
Thank you. Resolved that the American Library Association, ALA, recognizes Edward Snowden as a whistleblower who, in releasing information that documents government attacks on privacy, free speech, and freedom of association, has performed a valuable service in launching a national dialogue about transparency, domestic surveillance, and overclassification. Just a couple comments about this. We, for about the last decade, have been in a situation or more where access to the courts on issues related to domestic surveillance and privacy has been extremely limited. Over and over again, individuals, organizations, companies have been told that they do not have standing to bring suit against domestic surveillance and broad attacks on privacy. Meanwhile, our access to Congress has been extraordinarily limited. The oversight committees, we have learned, have been lied to. We have had senators coming out of closed-door hearings saying if only the American people knew what was happening in our name, we would you would be outraged. Meanwhile, those among us who are most affected by these laws, in particular Section 215 of the USA Patriot Act, are gagged from even speaking for good or ill about the effect of these pieces of legislation on our libraries and our library activities, even to our elected representatives. So we don't have access to the courts, we don't have access to Congress that is effective. Meanwhile, the executive branch, I could say, seems to have gotten religion about this issue in the past few weeks. But in fact, if you compare the comments of our President Obama when he was a candidate for Senate, when he was again a candidate for President, and now when he is, in fact, Commander-in-Chief, you'll see that his positions on the issues of domestic surveillance and accountability for violations of privacy by government officials have been moving very much against us. Quite recently, the White House spokesperson said we should be engaging in a broad national debate about these issues, but in fact, that national debate has not been brought forward by the executive branch. Under such circumstances where the courts, the Congress, the executive branch, and in fact, the press are of no help. In fact, the press has been under an unprecedented level of attack by governmental intimidation. We need whistleblowers. This actions taken by Edward Snowden have given us an extraordinary opportunity to make important strides in public policy that relates fundamentally to our core values of privacy, open access to government information, overclassification, an informed electorate, and this is an opportunity to make it clear to folks who are taking great personal risk at revealing important details about what is going on in our name that we do stand with them on the basis of our core values as a profession dedicated to an informed electorate and the role of an informed electorate in a democracy. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? If there's no discussion, we'll proceed to the vote. Will all those in favor please raise? Microphone three.
I'm Ann Crutzen, counselor at large. Ann Crutzen, counselor at large. I am speaking in support of this resolution because I do believe that Edward Snowden has performed a valuable service for our country in allowing a national dialogue. And, you know, because of him and because of what he did, his revelations, there are now 26 bills in Congress that are related to privacy and to surveillance. And I don't think that, I think that's pretty unprecedented in itself. Not only has it sparked dialogue nationally, but it's also allowed me to talk to my own family and my own teenagers about their privacy, their practices on Facebook and social media. And I think that's very good for a generation that seems to be more and more, being that they grew up in a ubiquitous surveillance society, that they're not really, they're more complacent than we'd like them to believe, because I think it leads to many things in the future, such as employment and their health insurance. And I've explained it to her that every Facebook like she does, or everything that she does online, it's built up in a data mine, and that's like a doppelganger. And when I pointed that out to her, I said, what about if you knew there was a doppelganger out there, and that's the thing that determines the rest of your life? She was absolutely floored by that. And I think that those kind of discussions wouldn't have come about without some national discussion going on. So I do encourage counselors to vote for this resolution, because it's helped transparency, and he's helped us protect our civil liberties. Thank you.
Microphone three, microphone
three. Nan Blaine Hilliard, counselor at large. I appreciate that the resolve clause does not pass any judgment on Edward Snowden. It simply identifies him, and the bigger part is indeed that we are opening up this dialogue, but we're not passing any judgment on him.
Thank you. If there's no further discussion, we will proceed to the vote. Will all those in favor please raise one of your hands? Thank you. Will all those opposed please raise one of your hands? The motion passes. The council has voted to support whistleblower Edward Snowden. Mark your ballot. Support.
No.
No. It's on the screen. Thank you. ALA Council Document Number 39. I now direct your attention to ALA Council Document 37, the resolution on reaffirming ALA's commitment to basic literacy. Would Councillor Hadi Dudley please go to the microphone and read only the resolved clause of ALA Council Document 37? Microphone three.
Thank you. Resolved that the Hadi Dudley, Arkansas Chapter Counselor, first resolution ever. Resolved that the American Library Association, ALA, on behalf of its members, reaffirms and supports the principle that lifelong literacy is a basic right for all individuals in our society and is essential to the welfare of our nation. Reaffirms the core value of basic literacy as foundational for people of all ages and as the building block for developing other literacies, encourages appropriate ALA units and divisions to actively participate in the association's literacy assembly, and urges appropriate ALA units and libraries of all types to make basic literacy a high priority by incorporating literacy initiatives into programs and services for all users.
Thank you. Is there discussion of the motion?
I would like to speak to the motion, if
please.
I may. Thank you. Basic functional literacy is an essential skill for an individual's personal and professional growth. It is key to one's ability to receive full beneficial use of library services and programs. The Committee on Literacy clearly recognizes the importance of other literacies, such as information, digital, financial, and other literacies, but believes traditional literacy is a basic skill set that is necessary and foundational to developing other literacies for all people. For example, when a user visits the local public library to access healthcare.gov, which we just heard spoken about by President Obama, sometimes his or her inability to use a computer, maneuver through complex documents from the government, or critically consider the information they're researching is not the first hurdle for that person. It's reading and writing. One charge of our committee is to raise awareness for literacy within the association. Our resolution was prepared with this charge in mind, and it is one mechanism for advocacy for our committee, among others that we hope to accomplish in the forthcoming year. A subsequent goal is to produce hot content highlighting literacy issues for distribution through appropriate and existing ALA communication channels. Another existing ALA mechanism to facilitate communication about related issues to literacy is the Literacy Assembly. Appropriate members should actively engage and participate in the Literacy Assembly for it to be successful in its purpose. Many ALA units have produced extraordinary programs for literacy, such as ALSC's Every Child Ready to Read and OLOS's American Dream Starts at Your Library, which is an adult program. The Committee on Literacy agrees wholeheartedly with Ms. Barbara Stripling that literacy should have more visibility on the ALA website. Our online toolkits and resources should be readily available, and our committee will work to support this goal as needed. If Council passes this resolution, it will bolster our committee's efforts to raise awareness of literacy within the organization. Finally, as an advisory committee where members are appointed by the President-elect, the Committee on Literacy fully supports Ms. Barbara Stripling's America's Right to Libraries initiative, where literacy is one of the core values for people of all ages. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Microphone three.
John Sandstrom, Counselor at Large, and I'm also a member of the ELOS Advisory Committee. We did discuss this resolution via email before annual, and we did decide to support it wholeheartedly. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone four.
Tom Wilding, Counselor at Large, for a few minutes. A few years back, I was the CERT liaison to the Literacy Assembly, and I was really surprised at how little participation there was in any broad way across the association. And I that may have changed, I don't know, but I was very pleased to see the reference to the Literacy Assembly in here and the encouragement for active participation very broadly across the association.
Thank you. Microphone three.
Bobby Newman, ALA Counselor at Large. I was hesitant to come to the microphone at this because I think that we can all agree that everyone here supports literacy and the right to read. However, as a member of the Digital Literacy Task Force that was mentioned in the council discussions and someone who has made digital literacy a focus of my work for the last several years, I am concerned that this does seem to privilege basic literacy above the other literacies that are mentioned in the resolution, including health literacy, financial literacy, and that kind of thing. So I am in support of it, but I am just a little bit concerned about what the purpose of this and where we're going with this resolution.
Thank you. Microphone three.
Ann Crudson, Counselor at Large. I support this resolution in concept, but I too have some concerns about the forms of literacy, and I would appreciate some clarification on it, being that there is a school of thought that digital literacy is just as strong. Professor Eliza Dressing, if you ever look her up, she really specializes in it. I guess I would be more supportive if I knew that basic literacy was, that this wasn't somehow a criticism on how parents use ebooks to teach their kids, or some styles of some children's librarians using apps for teaching, for doing story times. So other than that, I really appreciate the work that went into this. I thank the Committee on Literacy, and pending those questions, I would have no problem endorsing this.
Microphone three.
Bernie Margolis, Counselor at Large. I think it's very appropriate to every now and then reaffirm or remind ourselves about some of the basic beliefs that we hold dear. So I think it's very appropriate that we move and approve this resolution. I do want to remind everyone, though, that there isn't much of an audience for it. It'll go to us. So the reminder is for us primarily. So be aware of that. So the process that you're participating in is the reminding process of how important this is to us. I do want to up the ante a little bit for Councillor Dudley and suggest to the body that maybe there is a way to be sure that she works very, very hard towards being sure that the message maybe is broader than just the people in this room. I see that she's from a state known as Arkansas and a town named Bentonville, and I'm wondering whether she would be willing to take on a commitment to be sure that every Walmart store in America has President-elect Stripling's petition, charter. I think that kind of exposure, where people shop, where people do their everyday community activities, will not only build a strong connection between our economy and our libraries, but would also give Councillor Dudley the added benefit of knowing that her first resolution really, really had impact all across America. So let's go, Walmart.
Thank you. Microphone four.
Elizabeth Spridler, Councillor at Large. I am very heartily in support of this resolution. And I would like to point out to all of the wordsmiths who were dialoguing on our council listserv and who have started to talk here today that basic literacy, the ability to read and write, is foundational to all the other literacies, whether it's digital literacy or economic literacy or whatever. First of all, you've got to be able to put the words together. It's as basic as life or death. It's the person who can't read the medical label and poisons himself. It's the immigrant who is literate in their own language, but who is using a child to translate things for them at the lawyer's office or at the immigration hearing. It's the job. It's access to everything. And in North America, we still have a real problem with that basic ability to put together through the mind the ability to read and write simple English to function. 20% plus of our population lacks functional literacy. So anything we can do to encourage support within our organization and then from our organization out in that very basic concept of the ability to communicate and understand is extremely important to us as a democratic nation of functional citizens at work and in governing ourselves.
Microphone three.
Sorry, super tall. Lauren Comito, Councillor at Large. I'm standing in support. Hello? Oh, okay, there it goes. Lauren Comito, Councillor at Large, wanted to speak in support of this resolution. I'm a computer trainer and a job search. I do job search assistance. And when I'm teaching people how to fill out online job applications in really big letters across the top of my PowerPoint, it says, read the directions. If you can't read the directions, you can't click in the box. You can't type your name. You can't figure out where you're supposed to attach your resume. You can't apply for a job. And since that's one of the things that I spend most of my day doing, is helping people click in the box and apply for jobs, that basic digital, that basic literacy, without that, you can't do anything. And I work in a community where I come up against that a lot. So I would support this resolution. Thanks.
Thank you. Microphone three.
Valerie Feinman, counselor for small round tables from November until now, a very short period. But I do have a question. I joined ALA only because I wanted to be a member of ACRL back in 1978 when we had the first ACRL conference. I've also been very, very active in the instruction section of ACRL and in LIRT, the Library Instruction Roundtable. I don't see any kind of wording here that says that this matter of literacy has been discussed with those two groups, which have not a firm hold on, but certainly an awfully large background in literacy itself. So you can say, okay, Valerie, they did this, this, and this. But in this document, it says they consulted with some people, but they didn't consult with the people I thought they should be consulting.
Microphone four.
Maggie Farrell, ACRL. Counselor, yes, we did receive a copy of the draft resolution, and we did talk about information literacy as a critical component of higher education and how literacy is a building block to that information literacy, as well as technology literacy, financial literacy, and so forth. So ACRL was consulted, and we support the resolution.
If there's no further discussion, we'll proceed to the vote. Will all those in favor please raise one of your hands? Thank you. Will those opposed please raise one of your hands? Thank you. The motion passes. The council has voted to pass this resolution. Mark your ballot, Council Document 37. I now direct your attention to ALA Council Document 40, the Declaration for the Right to Libraries Resolution. Would Councillor Patty Wong please go to the microphone and read only the resolved clause of ALA Council Document 40.
Resolved that the American Library Association, on behalf of its members, endorses the Declaration for the Right to Libraries. And I do have an amendment. This is, so you have, what you have in your hand actually is the correct language. Is not the correct language. What you have on the screen is the correct language. So if you could just take a second just to read with me. Okay. So let me begin again. Resolved that the American Library Association, on behalf of its members, endorses the Declaration for the Right to Libraries, and urges that the American Library Association work to support and engage libraries and communities across the country in signing the Declaration for the Right to Libraries.
Thank you. Is there discussion of the motion?
There is. We believe that this effort will draw local and national attention to the value of all libraries. We hope that the Declaration will coalesce community engagement to take action in support of libraries of all types, beginning perhaps with the immediate need of our school libraries. We encourage library leadership, library staff, and libraries of all types to work in partnership with one another and their respective regional, state, and national partners to spread the word. We hope that all divisions, units, and chapters and all members of ALA will find this a valuable document. We hope to receive more than 1 million signatures. And remember, one of the things that we can do is lead from any position. And we ask you to stand with us and endorse this declaration. And we also invite you to sign the declaration, which is in the back of the room. Thank you.
Also, microphone four.
Sandy Wee, Counselor at Large. I also want to emphasize this declaration gives everyone of all ages and all groups an opportunity to validate the importance of any type of a library.
Thank you. Microphone three.
Nan Blaine Hilliard, Counselor at Large, with sort of a procedural question and the comment with this resolution, the one before, I kind of think of as the have you stop beating your wife kinds of resolutions, because if we don't vote for them, what are we saying? However, I'd be curious to know, don't we usually with resolve clauses have some kind of statement about exactly where we're going to disseminate this resolution? And so how actually, what's our action plan besides urging?
Keith? I call upon Keith Fields.
There's been a lot of work underway already on this, and we've got a team at ALA, Public Information Office, Office for Library Advocacy. We have an advisory group that's going to be working with this. So our goal will be to disseminate this as widely as possible. As Patty indicated, we'd love to have the divisions weigh in on this, the chapters, The ethnic affiliates have been, Barbara just made a presentation a couple of days ago to the emerging leaders. This is clearly an opt-in type situation, but we've had a really good pickup on this, and we will be there to do anything we can to support, and more importantly, document, tell other people about, so it encourages other people to do events. It'd be great to see somebody out in front of every Walmart, gathering, a million signatures. So I think this is going to get good momentum, and we're prepared to make sure that that is supported as fully as it can be.
So we darn well better pass this.
Microphone three.
Point of information.
Wait. Point of information doesn't interrupt, so continue. Microphone three.
Hattie Dudley, Arkansas Chapter Counselor. The Arkansas Library Association has formally voted to endorse and support this declaration. Thank you. And the Walmart challenge, I will work as hard as I can to make that happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone four.
Elizabeth Riddler, Counselor at Large. I was very pleased to sign the declaration yesterday after clarifying that as a Canadian I could sign, and I would hope that indeed the Canadian Library Association picks up on this and follows suit to do something similar within Canada. It is a terrific plan to bring attention to the importance of libraries.
Thank you. Microphone four.
Larry Romans, Counselor at Large. Who you want to send the resolution to should not be part of the resolution. It should be part of the e-form that you attach to the resolution.
Thank you. Microphone four.
Tom Wilding, Counselor at Large. It seems to me that in planning sessions at some time or another, I have heard President Sullivan refer to having a big, hairy, audacious goal or something like that. It seems to me a million signatures in a country with half a billion people is not a big, hairy, audacious goal. I would like to see us aim for 100 million signatures.
Thank you. Microphone four.
Gladys Smiley Bell, Counselor at Large. The Black Caucus of the American Library Association were the first to sign as affiliates, and we support and endorse this, and the executive board members all signed. We are very excited about this.
Thank you. Microphone three.
Jessica Scalf, Virginia Chapter Counselor. Just a logistical question. When we do pass this resolution, will it formally be said the ALA Council supports this, in the advertising or whatever? And are we doubling our vote? I'm kidding. Do you know what I mean? I would like us to look good for once, saying we support this great resolution.
I see our president-elect nodding in agreement.
Okay.
Microphone three.
Ann Crudson, Counselor at Large. I fully support this resolution too. However, I want to know when the cake is coming out and I can pop the champagne bottle. Love to start having signings at my own community. So thank you so much for all the hard work that went into this, and I think it's going to put libraries back on the radar at the top of the list.
Thank you. There's no further discussion. We'll vote. All those in favor, raise one hand. Thank you. Those opposed, raise a hand. I note unanimous adoption of this resolution. The resolution passes. Please mark your ballot, ALA Council Document 40. I now direct your attention to ALA Council Document 41. The resolution on library service to the community in a national disaster. Would Councillor Lauren Comito please go to the microphone and read only the resolved clause of ALA Council Document 41.
Hello, I'm Lauren Comito, Councillor at Large.
resolved that the American Library Association, on behalf of its members, recognizes the significant contributions of libraries and library staff who have provided effective emergency response and recovery services and responded to the needs of their communities following Hurricanes Sandy and Irene in ways that go above and beyond the regular call of duty. In two, I made a few changes. Continues to encourage libraries to continue to research and document library needs and capacity in order to provide effective e-government and emergency response and recovery services as an essential part of library missions, and shall direct a letter acknowledging the work and contributions of libraries and library staff to the state chapters in the affected states of New York, New Jersey, Vermont, and Connecticut to be passed on to the appropriate parties.
Thank you. Is there discussion of the motion? Lauren, did you want to speak to the motion?
I would, yes. After Hurricane Sandy, in my personal experience, I went out to the Rockaways on the book bus for Queens Library. And there was no other access to the information that the people in the Rockaways needed to find food, water, FEMA applications. There were people hanging out around the FEMA truck waiting for information that wasn't coming. The book bus that I was on was the only source of information, the only source of internet, one of very few sources of power. And the community came and knew that we were there because we're there for them usually. And they came to us to ask every question you could possibly think of, including, where's my kid going to school on Monday? Where do I vote? When I was researching before I went out, because I woke up the next day and said, I have to do something, there was no real documentation about what libraries in a can do for the community. All I could find was what do you do with the books that are flooded in your basement? And I'd really like to see us talk about that more. We are embedded in our community in a way that no other organization is. And so many staff came out to do work that really, you know, with their own houses destroyed, came out to do work that was really necessary. So I'd like to support them, especially the custodians who did so much cleaning and making sure that we would be safe to do our jobs. I'd like to see ALA support them and, you know, pat them on the head and say, thank God you were there. I'm glad you did that.
Thank you. Microphone 4.
Rocco Steno, New York chapter counselor. On behalf of the New York Libraries Association, we would like to thank Lauren for bringing this resolution forward, and also to tell everyone that the New York Library Association passed a similar resolution at their last council meeting.
Thank you. A procedural matter. When you approach the mic, feel free to adjust it and speak closer to the mic so that everyone can hear. Microphone 3.
Nick Buron, Counselor at Large. I rise in support of the resolution. In my day job, I'm the Director for Community Library Services at the Queens Library. So I wanted to thank Lauren and Cynthia for bringing this, and Sarah too. The point that I want to make here in this resolution that has not, it's not too controversial, is the point that this natural disaster and how the library responded to it was an excellent opportunity for the city of New York to see what libraries can do for their communities. When they realized we were in, you know, at least in 4 communities in Queens alone, that was able to really identify these the services that were needed, and that we were the only ones open, and that we have this big open space that we can open the door and do anything, including provide food, clothing, information, and other resources, it really propelled us to another level in the city's eyes, and that is where the money is, and that's where the support really needs to come from. So, you know, while this was a horrible event that we don't want to repeat, it certainly was an opportunity to show the incredible, valuable customer service that we provide every day. And hopefully this will leverage us in the future, and this resolution hopefully will leverage you in your communities as well.
Thank you. Microphone 4.
Mario Gonzalez, Counselor at Large. I live and work in 3 of the 4 states mentioned in the resolution, but I go back to the title of the resolution. And I'd like to see this expanded to all communities that have been affected by natural disasters, such as Oklahoma and Louisiana. So to single out New York, New Jersey, and I was personally affected by Hurricane Sandy, does not fully encompass what libraries are doing across the country in terms of responding to natural disasters. So I would like to see this acknowledge contributions that library and library staff have made across the United States, particularly what happened in New York and New Jersey, Connecticut and Vermont, but also what has been happening in other locales around our country. Thank you.
Microphone three.
Cindy Cizak, New Jersey chapter counselor. It's interesting that Councillor Gonzalez, who's a neighbor of mine in the same county, brought that up because when we were crafting this, it was at the back of my mind. There are many other communities that should be acknowledged, and I think that we do have to develop a wider recognition. But secondly, I think that this, talking what Nick just said, does cement the fact that libraries are really moving into different positions. In New Jersey, we did a program that became a pre-conference here at ALA called Ports in a Storm. And in New Jersey, we're having conversations with departments like Homeland Security to get libraries designated as first responders, to get generators into libraries so that if the power does go out, we can be the center of the community. So it's an interesting position. But I do think we just have to acknowledge the fact that these states, some of these libraries did amazing work. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone four.
Michael Porter, Councilor at Large, Executive Board Member. This is a useful resolution, practical. I do, however, wonder if it would be wise to either consider an additional resolution in the future or an addition to this resolution that would pass some sort of notification, a letter, as is mentioned in the third resolved section of the resolved clause, to all, perhaps, state governments, just to remind them that the role libraries have filled and will fill should another event like this happen, as it will, just so that when it does, we are again front of mind. It might be an additional reminder of the incredible role that we fill in these instances. And I think that perhaps as a body we should consider, should we add it to this resolution, or should we take another resolution in the future, or perhaps the executive board could take on this task and report back that we had sent a letter as well. There are various methods to do that, and I would defer to council as to the best method to do that.
Thank you. Microphone three.
Valerie Feinman, Small Round Tables Counselor. The trouble with growing old is you have a very long memory. I remember Katrina. My hotel still had a flooded basement. Many of the streets were flooded. We had teams of librarians going into schools and libraries and cleaning them out to make room for the boxes of books that were expected. Katrina was a major disaster and should have been something that we made a resolution about. I don't know whether we did or not, and that doesn't matter. But I think in the first paragraph of the resolution, you should say, as ALA has contributed to in the past, et cetera, et cetera, we wish that it always be continued and be formalized, et cetera.
Thank you. Microphone three.
Sorry about that. Alina Rosenfeld, Colorado chapter counselor. As we're going through an incredible spate of fires and have for the last few years, I greatly appreciate this resolution and also the conversation about something more expansive, so I don't say, I should write one for Colorado specifically. So thank you.
Thank you. Microphone four.
Elizabeth Riddler, Counselor at Large. I was in New York City about a month ago for Book Expo and visiting friends, and certainly I was brought up to speed by all the activities of my former library, the Brooklyn Public Library, and all the efforts it had made to keep the fires burning for public access. But in addition, this is not the only natural disaster. Just in the last couple of weeks, Calgary Public Library has been providing heroic services to its citizens because of the flooding. Throughout 10%, 100,000 people were displaced in Calgary, over a 24-hour period. And so Calgary Public Library, similarly to the three systems in New York City, opened their doors without power. They did manual sign-outs of library books. They said you can bring out anything that's damaged, and we'll also help you with any of your information needs. Even if we can't go online for it, we'll, you know, do it. We'll write out what you need to do, where you can get food, and so on. And it made the national news in Canada. So a bad news story for the citizens of Calgary was a good news story for the Calgary Public Library, similarly with the Three Systems in New York. It brought libraries to the attention of the citizens of their city, but also the citizens of their countries. And that, it's a horrible thing that has happened, but it gives us a tool going forward, not only to bring services back in those communities, but also to build on the public awareness of libraries and our value as a community service. And that's where we're going to get our support from the public and the funders.
Thank you. Microphone four.
Larry Romans, Councillor at Large. I don't see how you can not support this resolution, but there are some things that I think need to be changed, and people have talked about generalizing this. I'd also like to see the first whereas drop the public, so that it says just public libraries, it's all libraries. And the third resolve should be dropped and put into the e-form. And as a result, I'd like to move that consideration of this resolution be postponed until Council 2, so that the authors can take into account all of the suggestions that have been made today.
I can still call support. Is there a seconder?
Second.
All those in favor, raise a hand. Oh, I don't have to do that. Well, there we go. Are there any opposed? It will be postponed. Thank you. Pardon? Yes. It'll come up on the screen for you. Thank you. Just write postponed. Postpone 41. To Council 2. Did I get that right, Lois Ann? Would Councillor Ben Trapskin please come to a microphone and read only the resolved clause of ALA Council Document 42?
Ben Trapskin, ALA Chapter Councillor, Minnesota. I'd also like to postpone this to Council 2.
Is there consent? Thank you. It's postponed. Now, I propose a 5-minute break. Okay? 5 minutes. We'll reconvene in 5 minutes. So as we're waiting to start, let me clarify, the postponement of Council Document 42 does not require marking your ballot. It was not introduced on the floor. I now direct your attention to ALA Council Document number 44, the resolution on prayer in ALA meetings, and invite Larry Romans to go to the microphone and read only the resolved clause of ALA Council Document number 44.
Larry Romans, Councillor at Large. Despite the fact that this is a wonderful resolution, this isn't, in all of our changes and so forth, this isn't the latest version. So I'd like to postpone this for consideration at Council 2, and we'll get the right version out.
So this is a motion to postpone. Let me see. May we have unanimous consent?
Yeah.
Sounds like it?
No.
Oh, no. We're going to do a vote.
Well, is there time at Council 2? If we move everything now to Council 2, we have time.
Let me just do the vote. Those in favor of postponement, raise one of your hands.
Those opposed, raise one of your hands. It passes. We're postponing. And let's put up on the screen to mark the ballot. It'll come. There it is. Mark postpone Council Document 44 to Council 2. And I now direct your attention to Council Document Number 47, the resolution commending the Freedom to Read Foundation for defending video games. Would Councillor Kelly Czarnecki please come to a microphone and read only the resolved clause of ALA Council Document Number 47.
Hi, Kelly Czarnecki, Councillor at Large. Resolved that the American Library Association commends the Freedom to Read Foundation for recognizing video games as a non-print medium in libraries worthy of First Amendment protections. Continues to support the Freedom to Read Foundation in defense of libraries when presented with challenges to video games, including in gaming collections. Continues to support the Freedom to Read Foundation and support the Games and Gaming Roundtable so that it may be a force for initiating and supporting game programming in libraries. And continues to stand by the Freedom to Read Foundation in alignment with the researchers, politicians, and institutions that challenge unscientific studies attributing violent behavior to video games.
Do you wish to speak to the motion?
Yes. So we felt that this resolution was necessary to help protect the medium of video games and to reaffirm it in libraries, particularly when this medium is called into question and perhaps not being seen as a valuable and worthy medium for people to engage with in libraries.
Thank you. And I see there is discussion on the motion. Microphone 3.
As Ann Crudson, Council at Large. I just wanted to make a few comments of what didn't get on the resolution. The Intellectual Freedom Committee and Game Rounding Table, or Games and Gaming Roundtable, have both endorsed this resolution. For those of you who don't know the Freedom to Read Foundation, it's been in existence since 1969. It's been around since for about 43 years, and its record has been impeccable, and it's respectable, and it's been a stable organization. It's always used intellectual rigor when it makes makes decisions. And also, it's full of talented board members that are passionate when they defend the First Amendment. I just wanted to say that the Freedom to Read Foundation is worthy of praise for their hard work. And I could say that that is worthy enough for commending them. But I would say that they have gone on to answer distress calls from libraries when they're faced with challenges, to all kinds of collections from newspapers in 1970 to video games present day. And they partner with ALA, an organization such as Media Coalition, that has produced such an important work as Only a Game, Why Censoring New Media Won't Stop Gun Violence. And they educate the members and the general public. I think that I encourage you to support this resolution, because not only, you know, I have to say that games have been in existence since 1958, and they constantly receive unprecedented challenges or study and public scrutiny. They've been studied for the last 30 years, and there hasn't been any scientific studies. According to the Institute of Medicine, they said that there's no link between video game and link between violence and the violence that's portrayed inside of video games. So I applaud them for going in and into the fire and defending this non-print medium. I hope that you will vote for this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone 3.
Patrick Sweeney, Councillor at Large. I just wanted to speak my support for this resolution.
and I hope that we all support it as well. Just another way to protect some of our collections. I know there's been quite a few challenges to video games in libraries, and this will get ALA's support behind those libraries when they're trying to defend their collections. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone four.
Jim Neal, ALA Treasurer. As a member of the board of the Freedom to Read Foundation, we are certainly honored that ALA would consider recognizing the important work of the foundation in this area. As the treasurer of the Freedom to Read Foundation, every person in this room should be a personal member of the foundation.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that encouragement. Microphone three.
Jane Glasby, Councillor at Large. While I support this motion generally, I can't support Resolved 4 because of the word unscientific. I think the research is inconclusive, and I would like to move to amend this to strike Resolved 4.
Is there a second? There's a second. Councillor Kagan? Is there discussion? We'll vote. Those in favor of the amendment, raise one hand. Oh, to strike out. To strike the fourth one. Those in favor of striking the fourth one as an amendment, raise one hand. Those opposed, raise one hand. It fails.
Division.
If you go to the microphone. Oh, you're calling for a count, Bernie? Okay. Those in favor, raise a hand. We're going to count. Stand. Thank you. If you're in favor of striking the fourth paragraph as an amendment. Thank you. Now, if you are opposed, please stand. The amendment, the proposed amendment fails. There were 45 in favor and 75 opposed. Mark your ballot. Strike fourth resolve, Council Document 47. So we're now back to the main motion. Is there further discussion? Microphone five.
Jim Kuhn, Councilor at Large. I stand to speak in support of this resolution. As a longtime member of the Freedom to Read Foundation, I agree with much of what has been said, including the call for membership by all ALA members and certainly by ALA councilors. I actually also am interested in speaking to the fourth resolve because I think it's the very important work done by the Freedom to Read Foundation is supported in very important ways by the American Library Association, standing whenever possible alongside this sister organization. And so that the American Library Association resolves to continue to stand by the Freedom to Read Foundation in its important work is something that I'm very much in favor of, and I hope you are too. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further discussion, a call for the vote. Those in favor of this resolution, raise one hand. Thank you. Those opposed, raise one hand. The resolution is passed. Mark your ballot, Council Document 47. It's on the screen. I now call your attention to ALA Council Document number 49, the draft resolution on digitization of United States government documents. Would Councilor Larry Romans please go to a microphone and read only the resolved clause of Council Document 49.
Larry Romans, Councillor at Large. I want to refer this to a committee. Do I still do the resolved clause first, or?
Yes, please read it first.
Okay. Resolved that the American Library Association, ALA, on behalf of its members, supports and encourages the preservation of Federal Depository Libraries, FDL, paper collections. Two, opposes policies that would result in the destruction of FDL paper collections. 3, supports technologies that guarantee long-term, robust, verifiable, complete, accurate, authentic, preservable, and usable digital formats. 4, work with the Government Printing Office, GPO, and the FDL community on developing procedures to authenticate and ingest digital content into FDSIS digitizations that come from FDL libraries and federal agencies. And 5, supports the creation of an inventory of digitized government publications with records that include information on quality, completeness, accuracy, features, availability, limitations, costs, utility, and trusted preservation, and provide links to records in OCLC and GPO's catalog of U.S. government publications so that libraries can download batch mark metadata. I'm sure this is a central concern of most of the councilors, but I would like to refer this to the Committee on Legislation and specifically to the FDLP task force that is operating and dealing with this issue so that they can take this into consideration before they issue their report.
So, Larry, that's a motion?
That's a motion.
Is there a seconder? There's a seconder, Brian Schottlander. Discussion? So I'll ask for your vote. Those in favor of the motion, please raise one hand. If there are any opposed, please raise a hand. The motion carries. It will be referred to the Committee on Legislation. Mark your ballot. Council Document 49, refer to COL. Thank you, Larry. We are now at a point where I call upon Keith Michael Fields, ALA Executive Director and Secretary to the Council, for announcements.
Thank you, Maureen. Councilors who have not yet picked up their document portfolios, please do so. They're available at the pickup station in the rear of the room. Your portfolio should be used to collect and retain all council documents distributed throughout the course of the annual conference. I need to remind you that once a document has been distributed, it won't be recopied or redistributed in bulk if it's moved to a subsequent council agenda, which certainly is the, we have a couple of items there, and only a number of limited number of duplicate documents will be available for distribution to observers or to councilors who did not receive the original. Obviously, our goal is to function efficiently while reducing duplication, so please do hang on to your documents. And also, please be aware that although this room is a secure room, other meetings are also being held in it, so please don't leave computers or any valuables around or inside your portfolio. And last, I'd like to update you on conference registration. As of the end of the day yesterday, we had a grand total of 14,341 registrants, 5,815 exhibitors for a grand total of 20,156, and that's almost 1,000 more than New Orleans 2 years ago, and about 4,000 more than Anaheim last year.
Thank you, Keith.
Thank you.
I recognize microphone 4.
Point of personal privilege. I'm Terry Grief now, formerly known as Terry Kirk, and I'm the chapter counselor from Kentucky. But 5 years ago, we were in Anaheim, and many of you were in this room with me, and I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I was bald, and I had a scarf on most of the time. And I wanted to thank you all in this room for this support, because I got my 5-year star this year, and this morning I ran in the fun run.
It is indeed our privilege to celebrate with you. Thank you. Microphone 3.
Gina Persicini, Idaho Chapter Counselor. I would just like to remind all the members of council and our guests and visitors that tonight at 8:30 p.m. in the Hilton Chicago Astoria Room, you have the opportunity to take part in Council Forum, a wonderful informal conversation about a lot of the issues that come before us. For those who are guests, you don't have to be a member of council to take part in the conversation, so please feel free to join us. Hilton Chicago Astoria Room, 8:30 p.m. tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. As I get ready to call on microphone four, I would also ask all of you to begin to pass your cards to the end of the table. Thank you. And be sure your name is on the card.
Yeah.
And it's signed, microphone four.
Loida Garcia, FIBA Counselor at Large, and also Chair of the Committee on Membership Meetings. I'd like to thank the council body because yesterday we had 114 people attending the membership meeting, and it's been the highest number in the 4 years I've been chairing the committee. So thank you.
Thank you. I declare the first meeting of the ALA Council adjourned, and I personal comment, thank you so much for how effectively and efficiently we worked this morning. Thank you.